Esposito for Samuel. We welcome you to another explosive weekend. Here we are going to use the punchline of the scriptures to kick us into the reality of who we are in Christ and what Christ is into us. And we've been on this knockout season for a while, and we would like to show that our speech and preaching, they are not in the enticing ways of wisdom of men, but in the demonstration of spirit and power. So we welcome you to demonstration of spirit and power. Do you agree that it's going to be demonstration of spirit and power
definitely
today?
By His grace.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah, so viewers, thank you for joining us today on this knockout series. And you know, if you've been with us, we've been actually exploring the reality of the fact that we've been given victory in Christ Jesus, and that the job of a Christian, the responsibility of a Christian, is not to destroy the devil. Jesus did that already. The Christian is invited to take a stand. It means to make sure that whatever Christ paid for on the cross, that He granted to us through His death and resurrection, we don't allow the enemy to make us ineffective of laying hold upon what Christ actually paid for. And that has taken us through the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We've been looking at this armory, every item in the armory that God says guarantees the fact that it doesn't matter what the devil throws at us in terms of schemes and antics, we would never fall. We will always keep standing to the end. He gave us those guarantees in Ephesians 6. And we looked at we'll be looking at a different piece of items in this armory. And again, I want to call your attention to what we said in the past. And the fact is, the Bible says, having done all to stand. The standing of a Christian is not that you did most of them. The Bible says you have to do all. And what's the all? Taking on every piece of the armory. And so at the moment, we are actually, the last transmission, we focused on the armory, which is the bulletproof vest of righteousness, or the breastplate of righteousness. Please, I would encourage you to look for that transmission and be blessed by it. But today we're making progress beyond that particular armory. We're going to the next armory, the next item in the armory. So follow us quickly through to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And that's what we've been focusing. We start from verse 15. If you're there, you can read, please. Ephesians 6 from verse 15.
You
can start from verse 14, which is where we stopped in last transmission.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth.
We've done that already.
And having on the breastplate of righteousness.
We've gone through that in the last transmission. Yeah, what's the next? Verse 15.
And your feet.
Yes.
Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Now here we go today. Now the apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is actually making reference to the next item on the armory. He said, your feet needs to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, without too much ado, we can simply say, when it comes to the feet, the reason why the Apostle Paul is making reference to this kind of imagery is because, as at that time, don't forget that the fact that right there at the time of Paul, the Roman government were actually occupying the Israelite territory. So Paul had a very good example in using a Roman soldier to illustrate these deep principles to the body of Christ in Ephesus. So he says to them, just like a Roman soldier will have this, his feet shod. The word shod is a very old English. It means have his feet kitted, have these sandals on his shoe. He's saying on his feet. In that same way, I'm telling you as a Christian that you need to have your feet shod. And then there are some key words we're going to investigate on this in this Ephesians 6:15. And again, if you're wondering why are we doing this investigation, the Bible says we need to what? Take on every piece of the armory so that we can stand. So he said our feet short. And then the first question is, what about the feet? What do we put on the feet from? I want to call your attention to the fact that the feet, he says you need to put something on your feet as a Christian. And you're wondering why the significance of the feet. You and I know one thing, that the feet provides balance. Now, you see, for a Roman soldier, the kind of sandals or the kind of shoes they actually do put on, it's not like the kind of shoe we put on when we are going out just, for a casual work. The shoes, the kind of sandals they put on, has something called spikes underneath. Now, these spikes, actually, they get hooked onto the ground so that by the time this particular Roman soldier is under attack by the enemy, nothing moves him. That's the point. Don't forget, for example, we put on shoes because we're going to go somewhere. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 is not asking the Christian to go somewhere. All he's asking is, he assumes that a Christian is victorious. He assumes that a Christian has received the benefit of the cross. He assumes that a Christian is actually reigning with Christ, far above principalities and what? Powers. He's only inviting the Christian not to give place to the devil. And he says if that would happen, you would need to have a kind of fortification at the fifth level. Something that hooks you down so that it doesn't matter whatever the enemy pushes you with, you will still be what? Standing. You might want to say this particular item in the armory is so significant. It's so significant. So he says something should hook you to the ground so that it doesn't matter what is trying to shift you. You know, Ephesians 4 says, neither give place to the devil. It doesn't matter what is trying to push you. You will still be what? Standing. So here we come to this first understanding of this particular what? Adornment of having these shoes on, or this being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, but what is much more important to us this evening is, what is this particular thing that we're supposed to put on our feet that can make us stand, that can make us not yield ground to the devil? Have you noticed, as long as the Roman soldier has his spikes under his shoes to the ground, it doesn't matter what wind, it doesn't matter whatever the enemy throws at him, he's not going to give up his ground. Not because he's very smart, not because he's very intelligent, not because he has some tactics, but because his shoes are hooked on, he's short in his feet. Is hooked onto the ground and it will not yield any place to the enemy. But what does he tell us about these particular shoes? That's what we're looking at. He says what? This adornment is what? With the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh my God. He said there's something about the gospel of peace that a Christian takes on the revelation of it, and it will guarantee that the Christian's feet are hooked onto the ground. It would guarantee that no matter what is being thrown at the Christian, no matter what is being flung at the Christian by the devil, the Christian cannot yield ground. It will not give up space. He says that thing that we are to adorn ourselves with, he said, is the preparation. And there's a particular, some other translation calls it what? Readiness of the gospel of peace. And you might be wondering, readiness for what? Preparation for what? Because most times we always say we are ready to go somewhere. Can you see that? We are ready. You say, I'm preparing to move out. I'm preparing to go there. But he's asking the Christian to be ready. You wonder, ready for what? What are you preparing for? He says, be ready for whatever the enemy is what bringing. Let's read this in context. Don't forget that from verse 10, verse 11, we've seen the fact that he says, be what? He said, take your stand against the schemes of the devil. Take your stand against the wiles of the devil. So he says, a Christian can have his feet so short that you are ready for whatever the enemy what is bringing. You are not caught up by surprise. It means you are ready, alert, readiness. Preparation, readiness of the gospel of what? Of peace. So that's where we're going to focus on today. That the gospel of peace gives a Christian a revelation that guarantees that your feet is hooked on. It doesn't matter what comes at you, you will still be what? Standing. That's what we're going to investigate today as we carry on. Now, please go out with us quickly to Philippians chapter 4. Don't forget, there is something about the gospel of peace that makes our feet hooked onto the ground. There's something about the gospel of peace that makes a Christian not to yield ground. Now, if you want to look at this in the other way around, then you can simply say, a Christian whose feet is not shod with the readiness or the alertness of the gospel of peace is a Christian that can be moved, is a Christian that can be shaken, is a Christian that can be pushed aside, is a Christian that would yield ground to the enemy. And if we not ever yield ground to the enemy, when I say ground, I'm talking about the victory of the cross. You know, so when some Christians do pray, we did a particular transmission quite some weeks ago, and we call it Don't Pray Backwards. You cannot afford to lose place. The victory that Christ paid for you, and granted to you, the Bible expects us to lay hold on it and walk in it. We cannot lose ground to the enemy. So let's look at what is present in the gospel of peace that guarantees that a Christian would always keep standing no matter what push comes against the Christian. And that's what we're looking at today. Philippians 4, quickly. And then let's read from verse 1. You can read, please.
Therefore, my brethren.
Yes, please.
Dearly beloved and longed for. My joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved.
Now, please take note of the word. The Bible keeps using the word stand fast. It says don't lose ground now. Can you see? That's a stand fast. It's encouraging the Christian to stand. No time to give place to the devil. Now go on, please.
I beseech you, Dias, and I am beseech Cynthia.
Yeah, those are two women in the church. Go on, please.
That they be of the same mind in the Lord.
Okay.
And I entreat thee also, through your fellow, help this woman, which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life.
Well, as a bit of digression, don't forget that these women who are actually, in a way, fighting in the church, who should be of the same mind. Paul said, these women, along with his laborers, their names are in the book of life. Well, that's, so don't understand the fact that some people think that it's only about fighting, then their names are out. He's saying there that, along with my fellow laborers, all their names are still in the book of life anyway, the fighting women. Well, like I said, I'm just trying to, that's a kind of digression, but that's not what we're focusing on. You can go on, please.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Okay.
And again, I say rejoice.
Okay.
Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men.
If you have some translations, it says let your balance. Now, we are coming back into context. Don't forget, one of the reasons why the Roman soldier always has his feet shot to the ground is because he wants balance. Do you know that? It doesn't matter what you have on your helmet or your breastplate, your bulletproof, your helmet. It doesn't matter what kind of belt you put on. If you have unbalanced shoes, if you don't have the right footwear, you're going to lose what? Balance. And one thing the devil does, and let's say this, and let's make this clear. The devil is an advantage taker. All the devil does is take advantage of the Christian. As long as a Christian doesn't have the balance, all the devil does is comes in and take advantage. That the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, we are not ignorant of the schemes of the devil, lest he takes advantage. If you know the devil is an advantage taker, it would mean that you as a Christian, your responsibility lies in the fact that you have to be what? Balanced. Imbalance is what the devil takes advantage of. So here's Paul saying to the Philippian church, let your moderation, in other contexts, let your balance. You can never go to the extreme on either side. You need to be a moderated Christian. Let your balance be known to what? All men. You might be wondering, the question is, what kind of balance is he talking about? It will tell us what kind of balance it is. But don't forget, your feet being shod with this readiness of the gospel of peace, having the right footwear, majorly gives you the right balance so that your imbalance doesn't give Satan an opportunity to trip you off. It just takes advantage. So he says balance first. It will tell us what that balance is. Let it be known to all men. What is the next thing, please?
The Lord is at hand.
Okay.
Verse 6. Be careful for nothing.
Be careful for nothing. Now we're getting into the context now. Now the reason we're going to this verse, you might be wondering, why are we reading in Philippians 4:6? Again, if you don't know, whatever the enemy will target against you, you will not be able to appreciate the reason why your feet need to be shod, or you need to be fitted or kitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. The reason why you need to is because there's something the enemy targets. Have you noticed in our past transmissions, we talked about the belt of truth, and we specifically mentioned what the devil targets at the Christian in that area. We also went on to talk about the bulletproof vest or the breastplate of righteousness, and we make mention of the things the enemy targets into that area. Here is the scripture telling us what the devil targets at the Christian in the what in the issue of being your feet being shod with the gospel of peace. Here he's telling us, said, be careful for what?
Nothing.
For nothing. If you have other translations, he said what? Be anxious for nothing. Now, again, if you look at this, don't take this out of context. He's not saying don't be concerned about your situation. Of course, if you love someone or you have passion for something, it is natural to be concerned about what you have passion for. You see the Apostle Paul telling the brethren, he says what? He says, my little children, of whom I am what? I'm in travail again until Christ be formed in you. I'm concerned about you. He said, my bowels of mercy is concerned for you. He's not saying don't be concerned. He's not asking to be frigid about life. All he's asking for is, even if you're concerned about anything, you cannot afford not to have balance. That's why he said in the previous verse, he said what? Be moderate. Even if you're going to be concerned about something, you cannot get to the point of anxiety about anything. It means, in fact, the word anxiety in this place, in the Greek context, means to fall apart. This is not just your basic concern. This is about a concern that is driving you crazy, a concern that is draining your energy, a concern that is dissipating your strength. This is not just basic concern. This is one that is making you to fall apart. Now, look at what it says. Now, it says, don't be. Now, we begin to see then an indication of what the enemy can be targeting now. Now, watch this in context. Go on, please.
For in everything by prayer
okay. And
supplication, with thanksgiving,
yes, please.
Let your request be made known unto God.
Go on, please.
Verse 7. And the peace of God.
Okay, that's it. We see it. Now then, now this is coming clearer. We have the antidote and we have the poison. It would mean that the Bible is saying what the revelation of God's peace. Don't forget, going back to Ephesians 6, your feet being shod, your feet being kitted. with the readiness of the gospel of what? Peace. He's saying the revelation of peace, the application of God's peace. What it does, it targets something that the enemy is bringing at your soul. It targets what? And it tells us what that thing is. It says, of course, what actually happened. The enemy wants to get you into a place of anxiety. The devil wants to make sure that you get so careful for things. And it says what happens is once it does that, is attacking you. And it says, well, you need to have your what? Your feet shod. There's the revelation of the peace that the gospel brings that needs to make you stuck to the ground. You're stuck to the ground. It means nothing moves you. You can say like Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, that none of this is what? Movement. You don't say things like that unless your feet is stuck. It means you're stuck in the mud. It means the enemy keeps pushing and you're not just even yielding. You're not moving ground. And don't forget, well, in the previous transmission, we did talk about this unbelief, type 1 and type 2. Now, have you then began to see the whole point of prayer? You know, at times in Christianity, some Christians think that the whole point of prayer and supplication is just for us to fight the enemy. The reason why we pray is so that we can gain victory over the enemy. Or the reason why we pray is so that we can gain dominion over the devil. Well, that will be a misuse of prayer. I want to call that prayer abuse. He tells you in this case that the reason why I ask you to what? To pray with supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, majorly, is not because you want to gain any dominion over the devil. It's so that you can be what? Can have your feet stuck. So that you can what? You can walk in peace. That's why it says in Ephesians 6, having the readiness of the gospel of peace. You are the one that needs something to happen to you in the place of prayer. You don't need something to happen to the devil in the place of prayer. Because why? The devil has been defeated. The Bible tells us that Jesus in Colossians 2:8, Colossians 2:14, Colossians 2:15 have been spoiled, principalities and what? Powers. Your prayer life is not meant to do something to Satan. Something has been done to Satan on the cross. Something has been done to the devil on the cross. You are the one that needs something to be done to you. So he says what your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving should actually do in your life. It should catch you up with the peace. It should make your feet stuck to the ground so that it doesn't matter what is being thrown at you in terms of anxiety and worry. You're not yielding ground. And that's what he's simply saying in this place. So it says, if your prayer life doesn't actualize that in your heart, if it doesn't actualize that in your life, it means your prayer has not achieved its purpose. So prayer, as it were, is meant to do something to you and not necessarily anything to the enemy. Because why? He has been defeated already. You are the one that needs not to yield ground. So it says, let your request. Now he says something. He says it's about your request. That's it. It's about your situation. It's about your circumstances. Those are the very things that the enemy is moving with. He's actually moving with those things to ensure that you are loaded with what? Anxiety. That your life falls apart into pieces because of your circumstances. The Bible says, hijack those things. Bring those requests to God in prayer and supplication. Now, have you noticed one thing? He didn't say prayer and supplication and then thanksgiving. Because when some people read Philippians 4:6, that's how we read it. We end up thinking it says prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. It didn't say that in Philippians 4:6. What it said is prayer and supplication with. It means use thanksgiving as the vehicle to make the request. I'll repeat that. It didn't say, because some Christians, what we do in the place of prayer is we give thanks, we pray, we make requests to God. And say, Father, thank you for you have had me. That's not what it said. He said thanksgiving should be the vehicle, should be the platform upon which you make the request. And I want to encourage you to please look for our past transmission where we actually talk about thanksgiving, our thanks living. You can look for that on our page. We actually did an expose on the weapon of thanksgiving as a platform to make requests known to God. If you don't actively do this, what happens is you're going to lose something at your feet level. It's called the what? The revelation of the gospel of peace. And if you do, it means every target of the enemy. And what's that target? It's anxiety. That's it. That's what is flinging at us. That's what is throwing at us. Anxiety. He said that thing can move us what? Around unless we are stuck into the ground by having what? The readiness of the gospel of peace fasting to our heart. You don't need to say that.
It is understandable why people might neglect this aspect of the armory, because if you're talking about the feet, it's just down below, you know. It's not that obvious and visible, because when you're meeting to people, people can see your head here, they can see your head, they can see the chest part and so. And that's why it makes sense sometimes for people to take care of their head and get the helmet and say, oh, I want to protect my head and I want to protect my chest. Even the sheer size of that makes you feel like, oh, I need to get it wrapped up, I need to get something about it. But people just overlook and they try to take care of the other aspects, you know, without even remembering this and everything like that. And we know how Apostle Paul was able to tell us about it's an important armory, because we cannot afford not to be on balance. That's why let our balance be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Even now that the Lord is at hand, we cannot afford not to be our posture, you know, be deficient. And it's for people to understand that even in the medical world, sometimes if they want to work on somebody on the posture, if they have imbalance of posture, sometimes they don't even, the orthopedists don't even work on, let's work on the bone structure. They don't. They work on the footwear. Sometimes they come with footwear. They help you shape the footwear or the prosthetics, even the footwear, so that you can adjust the balance that is working, so they can have the stability. And so that's why we're talking about stability. You can't afford not to have a good posture. You cannot afford not to have a good balance while you're talking about defense or attack, whichever way, if you need to be grounded. And that's why people use the word that we're talking about, the thinking, having your right, you can't outsource your thinking. But then you need to be grounded. They use the word grounded, because when you're talking about grounded, we're talking about the spike taking root on the ground.
To the ground, that's it.
Taking root on the ground, and that is why, it's when you have your footwear, you are wearing the appropriate footwear, you are fitted with the right footwear with the spike that is grounded in that rock. You know, grounded to the ground, so you are not moved by what is happening, the cares, so you are not falling apart, because you are grounded. So that's why to know, you know, you talk about people and say, oh, he's grounded, you know, because right, he's not floating. That is it. We are calling you to stay in a place where you can be, you have your posture and balance in place, you are not falling apart, you are grounded. And that's why we want you to take up that footwear. And then that's the preparation, the readiness of the gospel of peace. And that's what we're talking this evening. I hope you are paying attention to that.
Amen. Now, please, don't forget, what we are going through is, how does a Christian, how can a Christian actually have their feet shod or have their feet kitted with the readiness of the gospel of what? Peace, the Bible says, that's what we're looking at. How do we actively do that? How do we do this on a daily basis in our Christian life? Don't forget, again, the Bible says the only guarantee you and I have to stand at the end of the day is if we're taking on the full armor of God. Now, let's go back to that Philippians 4, verse 6. And I think I'll read this. Again, I'll read, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget that this thanksgiving would mean that even as you're making your request known to God, as you're going through your circumstances on a daily basis, whatever challenge you're going through, you are saying to the Father, I thank you that even this very thing I'm asking for, the Bible says that all that I need for life and godliness has made available for me. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You are making a request. Somebody has need. Somebody has not had his daily food. Somebody has not had his needs met and is still thanking the Father that I know that if you care for the sparrows, you care for me. You are making a request, but the request is coming on the platform of giving thanks, for you know that Christ Jesus has been made unto you all that you need for life. You are making a request. You seem to be in the negative. You seem to be somebody coming from a point of lack or need, or there's a tension around your life, but yet you are making your request known to God on the platform of the finished work of Calvary. You are making your request known on the platform of what is available through redemption. You are saying like David in Psalm 103, that bless the Lord my soul and don't forget his benefits. How can you be asking God or making a request known to God as he's talking about the benefit of the cross simultaneously? The Bible says you need to do that. And he said, what when you do that, something happens to you. Can you see? Something happens to you. And what happens to you? He said the peace of God takes charge of your heart. The peace of God takes charge of your soul. Your feet get shod with the revelation of the gospel of peace. And it doesn't matter what comes, you understand it. And see what it says. And
it's good that you brought that chapter 4, verse 6, because some people do, like, let's use prayer, and then prayer does not work, or supplication, and then thanksgiving, if anything, does not work. And that's why we are reminding our audience to go back to We have the knockout season series on those Thanksgiving, when Thanksgiving goes wrong. And so there's not just you don't use a Thanksgiving like that. It's not Thanksgiving like that as a middle.
It is a hand Thanksgiving.
So it's not like when everything does not work, then you're not throwing Thanksgiving. So that is the thing. That is not the way it is. It is just the medium with it.
Please, I would encourage you to have a look through Colossians chapter 1. You can read from verse 9 to verse 16. You see where the Apostle Paul was praying for the Colossian church. I pray that it will be strengthened with all might in the inner man. And then when it goes to verse 12, it's sweet the language. And it says, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He said, who has translated us from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. He was saying that to people that was asking to be strengthened. Can you see that? So thanksgiving is a game changer. And the Bible says, if we learn to understand that whatever you are in need of at the moment was actually meant in Christ. If we pray with that understanding, is it the peace of God? Can you say the peace of God? You see, your feet get shod now. Your feet get kitted now with the readiness of the revelation of peace that comes through the gospel. And if that happens to you, listen, you are stuck into the ground. Nothing, none of those things would move you. None of those things will shake you. You're balanced. The enemy cannot take advantage now of you. And that's what he's simply saying, that we need to have our feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now see how the procedure is going to go. See the next in there. It says, that's verse 8. Finally, now I wanted to take note of this. Brethren, whatever things are true, watch this. Whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue. Now watch this. If there be any praise, think on these things. Can you see that? Think on these things. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where so many Christians have found one thing. Immediately, he talked about the revelation of the peace of God reigning over a Christian's life. He says, well, I'll tell you something. Something that you need to do finally. Something that you can never think of stop. You can never stop doing this. If you want to actually have your feet, shod, you would have your feet kitted with the revelation of the gospel of peace, he says, I will tell you what to do. You know, when it comes to peace, the world has a system of peace. You know, in John chapter 14, Jesus said something, I think verse 27, thereabout. He said, my peace, I live with you. Not the way the world gives peace. It would mean that the world system has its own version of peace. You know, when people want to gain peace in the world, when they don't want to be shaken and pushed here and there in the world system, what psychologists and what doctors or some people who are involved in this kind of thing say, well, for you to have peace, what you need to do is they teach them mind relaxation techniques. They talk about transcendental meditation. They talk about them taking a deep breath. They do yoga meditation. People do lots of stuff so they can have a peace and tranquility in their soul. Well, not the scriptures, not the way Jesus gives peace, not the way kingdom peace operates, not the way a Christian should have your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. For a Christian, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not asking you to relax your mind. I'm asking you to make your mind active now. He says, well, there are some things you have to think upon. Don't go the way of the world that tells you to do relaxation techniques or relaxing your mind. Now, a Christian doesn't need to have their mind relaxed. They need to have their mind active. Paul says, well, if I told you that the God of peace and the peace of God reign in your heart, I'll tell you what to do finally. Finally, think upon these things actively. So it would mean that whenever a Christian is imbalanced, whenever a Christian can be tripped off by the enemy because of anxiety, it would mean that they are not thinking. Let's say that again. It means such a Christian must have outsourced their thinking. They're not thinking. There was any time the peace of God is not reigning in your heart, in verse 6, Apostle Paul said the problem in verse 7 is you're not thinking. You're not thinking. What are you not thinking about? He says, whatever things are true. Hey, can you see that? Some things are true and some things are lies. Now, he simply tried to tell you, Romans 3 tells us, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Let's say that in simple terms. Whatever experience you're going through now, whatever thing is happening to you now in your life, if it's not consistent with the truth of redemption, if it's not consistent with what Christ paid for, if it's not consistent with the victory at Calvary, that thing is a lie. And the Bible says, you need to think about things that are true. I mean, some you cannot afford not to think. If I some that thing, they think lies. The Bible says, whatever things are what? True, you need to think upon these things. It means, how can you say this to somebody who is going through anxiety? How can you say this to a Christian who is being hit here and there by anxiety. He says, well, why the way out is this? You need to think upon things that are true. Could it be that the reason why there's so much anxiety around your life today is because you are thinking about lies? And what's a lie? Whatever is not consistent with the truth of God's word. In fact, there are Christians who pray prayers. There are Christians who gather in place of prayer and prayer meetings. And then the very basis of the prayer points are lies. Why do I call them lies? Because those things don't glorify the work of redemption. Those things even mitigate. Those things actually nullify whatever benefit that Christ has given to them. They say things and pray prayers that are not consistent with the victory of the cross. And the Apostle Paul says, if you're going to get out of anxiety, if your feet will be shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace, there are things you need to think on, things that are true. You must be actively thinking. So every time anxiety is eating you, you're not thinking. That's what the Bible is simply saying.
Yeah, let me just say that it doesn't matter how you go about your peace, how you get about the peace, because now we are pushing, everybody's pushing for peace. You know, we have nations, we have national conflict resolution, living with peace with your neighbors and all the things. So the whole world is talking about peace, clamoring for peace. But it doesn't matter from the scripture today how we get about the peace. So we are going to ditch any instant method, any method of that allows us to block things out. Hypnotize us,
you know, that is not,
that is not the kingdom way of getting the peace. The kingdom way of getting the peace, as we find out in the book of Ephesians, is about getting our footwear, and it's packed. We have that footwear hooked to the ground, the readiness of the gospel of peace, and that is the way of going about the peace. So it's not that you just want to achieve peace by compromise, you know, there's some peace by compromise.
So, I give you my peace, not the way the world gives it.
So we are contrasting the way the world gives peace with the way, the kingdom way of getting peace. And that is what we are calling us to. And they're shaking us off, knocking off every other method, or the other instant method, or any method that is not in the line with the scripture, that is not in line with the New Testament way of getting the peace. So it's not about how, it's about how you get it. It's not what, there is a difference between it, the way you go about it. And that's why we're encouraging you to go in the way of the New Testament. And knocking out every other procedure or every other association. The one you see the New Testament with, you have to actively engage our mind on some things. It's not about blocking off. No. It's not about some meat and diet that takes us off our consciousness and reduce us. And then pushing us and all those things away. That is not the way. Or knocking us out of consciousness that we are not aware. You know, that kind of open to other things. No, that is not the way. The way is we actively engage the mind. That's the way of, we are thinking on things. Not blocking off some things like that. So I hope you'll be able to notice the difference.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that insight. Now, if you notice, viewers, Ephesians 6:15 says, it is the alertness or the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It would mean that in the gospel of Christ, we need to think out the implication of the gospel. You see, the Apostle Paul is simply saying here to the Philippian brethren, he says, I would show you, even though I told you the peace of God, that what that transcends or goes beyond all what? Understanding. And if you notice this, so you might think that the Apostle Paul is talking to a Christian and saying that, well, you need to have a peace that will go beyond rational thinking or go beyond all understanding. You would think that the Apostle Paul was anti-understanding because that's how it sounds like. And which some people have labeled Christians, that Christians are people who don't think, who don't actually understand how our world works, and they actually go for fairy tales. Well, that's not what it's saying, because if Apostle Paul was anti-understanding, why would the next verse 7 then say, think upon these things? It would mean to you then, by revelation of God's word, it wasn't that Paul was against understanding. What Paul was simply saying is, I needed to think and gain an understanding that is higher than natural understanding. Let's say that again. So it's a battle of understanding. He says, when he says the peace of God that transcends understanding, I'm simply saying that you should think in verse 7 and gain an understanding that is higher than the understanding that is causing anxiety in your life. I mean, the reason why people are anxious, you know, the reason why people are anxious today, the reason why people have anxiety, why people are falling apart, why the enemy is targeting Christians with so much worry and anxiety, is simply because those Christians do have an understanding of the situation. It takes somebody who understands the implication of what they are going through to be worried. That's true. It takes an understanding to be worried. In fact, every worry and anxiety is born out of understanding. People talk about the fact that ignorance is bliss. And the reason why they say that is because for you to be concerned and be anxious, it means you know things that the person who is not anxious doesn't know. Yeah, you know things. And that understanding is our problem. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, I need you to think in verse 7 now. I need you to think about things that are true. I mean, and that's why we then see the connection with Ephesians 6:15 that says it is the peace comes from what? From the gospel. It says the gospel of peace. I want you to think about the implication of the gospel. I want you to think about things that are true. And then if you think about these things, you will gain an understanding that actually surpasses the previous understanding that was causing the anxiety in the first place. So this is a war of understanding. It's the battle of understanding. An understanding has to swallow the other understanding. And that's what it's saying there. And that's what we see in this Philippians 4, 6, 7. Now, what we are simply going through at the moment is to show us practical steps on how to have our feet shod with the readiness or the alertness of the gospel of peace.
In other words, this is a call to higher form of engagement and reasoning.
So think upon this.
Yes, things. Because we are going to actively engage our mind, actively engage our mind, our reasoning faculties and some things and everything. So that's why it comes and we cannot outsource this. When we are talking about peace, it's what you have to do yourself. You have to come up higher. You are going to ditch a level of understanding of some things that you have before for a higher level of understanding.
Living an understanding to gain an understanding. That's what he's saying.
So that's the active form of engagement in which you have to do yourself. You have to be actively involved in the process of your peace. That is the thing. The process of your peace needs your active involvement in which you are going to engage your mind. You are going to ditch the form of the understanding you have and allow your mind to process the level higher of understanding.
Amen. Now, you see, let's see what Christ Jesus has to say to the Christian on how to have our feet kitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Let's see what Christ has to say to us. Let's go quickly to Matthew 6. Now, don't forget, we now know what the enemy is targeting at a Christian is anxiety and worry and then falling apart. And that's what our feet being kitted with the gospel of peace is meant to deal with. It's meant to be our defense mechanism in our spirit and in our walk with God. Now, if you look at Matthew 6, you can read from verse 25. Now, watch this. Verse 25.
It reads.
This is a very popular verse that people read, but let's see the implication of this verse as it connects with Ephesians 6:15, having our feet kitted or shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace.
Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you.
Therefore I say unto you.
Take no thought.
Again, we see that anxiety. And please, we've said before, we don't want to repeat ourselves again, where we did say that he's not saying don't think about it. He's saying don't fall apart. Moderation. If you're no more balanced in the way you think about your circumstances, he says, come on, something can take over. The enemy can take over the situation. The devil is an advantage taker. So he's not saying don't think about things at all. He's saying, well, don't fall apart. Don't fall apart. So you can go on, please.
Take no thought for your life.
Yes.
What you shall eat.
Okay.
Or what you shall drink.
Okay.
Nor yet for your body.
Those are those things that drive unbelief into our lives. He said, don't think about it. He said, don't let your thoughts be then consumed upon these things. Now, see what he says.
What you shall put on.
Yeah.
Is not the life more than meat?
Now, can you see? I mean, when you ask somebody a question, you want the person to think and give you a response. That's why you ask questions. Jesus said, I will tell you that anxiety and worry and falling apart should not dominate and scatter your life, and then you become a prey to the enemy in spiritual warfare because your feet is not shod. But it says, even though I said don't take thought, I want you to think. And they began to ask a question. He said, I want you to think. So it means Jesus, by his own very teaching in Matthew 6:25, automatically then comes to a point where he thinks that if somebody can think about the implication of what he's going to tell them, then they will be immune. They will have a defense mechanism against anxiety. It means they would live in peace. They would walk in peace. They would dwell in peace. Now, see what it says. It says, it's not life. Can you see? More than meat. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about these things. Can you see? Think about it. It's not life what more than meat? And your body more than what? Raiment. Now, the question I want to ask you is this. If you believe that Jesus Christ came into this world, and actually, he was made sin that knew no sin. Not because of him, but because of you. Because of your life. Because he wants to redeem your life. Because he actually paid for you and brought you back out of darkness into life. What he's saying here is, he said if he had to do that for your life. Now, it's not your life much more worth than what? Than meat. I mean, if he could do that for your life, I mean, come on, what about what you're going to eat or drink? And then he's asking the believer to think about the implication of the gospel. And he says, if you think about the implication of the gospel, then there'll be no room for anxiety. So it would mean again, from this testimony of Christ Jesus in Matthew 6:25, the reason why so many are being attacked by anxiety, because they're not thinking. They're not thinking. He said, you're not thinking. You're outsourcing your thinking. Christ said, you're not thinking about the implication of the gospel. He said, there's a peace that comes from the gospel. Having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We're not thinking about the implication of the gospel. That's what the Bible is saying. We need to think. We need to think about it. What is the implication of the gospel in our lives? Now, can you go on, please?
It's not the life more than meat.
It's not the life more than meat, yeah.
And the body than raiment.
And your body is more important than raiment. Now, think about it. Think about this. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us something. 1 Corinthians 6 says, therefore glorify the Lord in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It says your body and your spirit are God's property. He purchased them with the blood of his son, Jesus. Now, he says, if God can do that, and we know that our body is purchased. We know that. That's why for every believer, for anyone who is born again, for anybody who is washed in the blood of Jesus, their body will be redeemed at the second coming of Christ. We would actually drop this mortal body and take on what? Immortality. Because Christ paid for that body. And he's asking you a question. He said, is not your body then much more what? Important than what? Than clothes. I mean, if Christ had to shed his blood, if the person who is perfect, the person who has no sin, had to take on the consequence of your sinful nature so that he can what? So that he can pay the price for your body. He's simply saying, is your body not much more important than the very clothes you want to fall apart for? You are falling apart because you don't have the clothes to wear. You are falling apart because you don't have the food to eat. He says, come on. Christ actually focused on things that are much more important than those things. He says, if you think about the implication of what? The gospel. There'll be no room for taking thought and for anxiety in your soul. It means, again, we see a second testimony in the scriptures that every time somebody is falling apart, every time somebody is full of anxiety and they're being driven here and there by the enemy, they are not thinking about the implication of the gospel in their life. Their feet is exposed. They're not shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace.
Yeah, well, you can see the consistency of this New Testament charge in this Matthew chapter 6, telling us, like, it's challenging us to question, you know, calling us to reason.
Think about
so
this.
So any religious place or wherever you are, any association that is asking you to frown against thinking, reasoning in the scriptures, you know, they have a calling for to reason in this things, reason on the reality of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, reason on this and what makes for your peace. You know, he was talking to those, if you know what makes for your peace, you know, knowing what makes for your peace, be actively involved in the process of reasoning it out to understand this. And that is why the Lord Jesus was using that and feeding those questions for them as sample questions. Can't you think that your life...
Try to make them think about...
Yes, challenging them, feeding those questions and as a sample. Think about it. Your life is more than meat. You know, your body is more than the raiment. And so it's not the peace we're talking about, it's not the one that makes you to feel docile and sit down and just take the interpretation of somebody or what somebody thinks about it or process it for you. It's the one that you actively have to engage your mind and think through and think through what makes for your peace. How was this peace brought about? You know, you understand, it was making you to know, Isaiah telling you how this your healing came about. It was beaten bruised for your healing. So you need to be able to process this and understand how this peace got about. And then you actively engage your mind on it and feed it. And that's why you will be able to ditch the lower level of understanding. And that is that lower level of understanding of thinking your body is more than the meat.
If so your body belongs to him, if he paid for that body, if he paid for your life, come on. The Bible says nobody goes to war on his own charges. If he paid for your life, if Christ did die for things that are much more important than the very things you are falling apart for, why are we falling apart?
That's what Matthew chapter 6 was when Jesus was feeding those questions for them to cheat, to ditch the lower level of understanding, doing compare and contrast your body, your meat, you know, that kind of your life, your clothes and your body, life, raiment, and to ditch it. So you have to ditch one level of understanding to another one. That's what the Philippians 4 was talking to us about. You have to drop this and come up higher and think.
Think on this. You got to think about it. You got to think about it. So if there's no peace at the moment, if we're not walking in peace, you might be asking a question, how do you know if somebody's not walking in peace? Well, Philippians 4:4-5 tells us that it's about anxiety. It's about being, like I said, we use the word, too much burdened, so much weight on our soul, being thrown apart. Something happened, we're almost scattered. Somebody said something, we're falling apart. Somebody did something, we're almost falling out. And the Bible says the reason that's happening, we're not thinking. It says because we're not thinking about the implications of the gospel. It said there's something that makes your feet to be hooked on to the ground. And it says it's the revelation that comes from the peace that flows from you understanding and thinking out the gospel, thinking out what the gospel means, the implication of it. And that's what Christ was inviting them to do in Matthew 6:25, to think about the implication of the gospel. And that's what we see there.
I hope our viewers will not forget that there is no way you can stand grounded without having the appropriate footwear. That is, so that you not be tossed away.
And it's that footwear we're discussing today.
Yes, because people think of anxiety like this, and they may not be able to make the connection with it, that when all those things are coming at you, all those from the lower level of understanding and trying to move you about, throw you off balance, you know, when you want to think this way and want to push you to think the other way around, and so want to move you from the faith. If you have your feet shod without preparation, that is, the spike without the readiness of the gospel of peace, you know what makes for your peace, you're really grounded. And so when those anxiety thoughts cannot move you, because it is based on the level of the higher understanding in which you know what your peace is being processed, and that is why you are grounded. And in your grounding, you will not be able to be thrown off or be tossed away by those thoughts, those anxiety thoughts. What will he?
Because those anxieties were born out of an understanding, and is inviting us to have another understanding. Philippians 4:6.
All those circumstantial questions that comes and want to throw you off the balance, but when you have your feet shod with the preparation, you are grounded, and so you cannot be moved about.
Amen. Thank you for that. Now we you see this insight of what the apostle was inviting every believer to do in Ephesians 6:15. And you see, can you now see the reason why he calls it readiness, alertness, preparedness? He calls it that because it says you're ready for whatever is going to come. It means you're ready. You can say to the enemy, bring it on, do your worst. It means you're ready. You're ready. You're prepared. It doesn't matter what's coming. So you can speak like Apostle Paul in Acts 20, that none of these things move me. It doesn't matter where it is. I will be standing my ground. And then, have you then noticed that it means then, the concern of a Christian should be that we are taking advantage of this armory? That's the concern. We shouldn't be bothered about the devil, as it were. We should be bothered about, are we making use of the armory of the Spirit? The devil is a defeated foe. All it does is to watch out for a Christian who is not balanced, to watch out for a Christian whose heart is overcharged. He's going to watch out for that. And once he sees that, then he takes advantage. So it means every time Satan is at work anywhere in the world, whether in your life personally, whether in a corporate setting, if the devil is at work, somebody is giving place. That's all. That's all he does, taking place. He just takes advantage. That's all he does. And that's what this transmitter today is expressing, that we cannot afford not to be hooked to the ground, so that these things will not move us. Let's go quickly to John chapter 14 and get another insight into this, being shod with the gospel of peace, so that anxiety has no place in our lives. John 14, we can read from verse 27, if you can read that, please. John chapter 14.
The truth, peace I leave with you.
That's what we just read, your time. Yes, please.
My peace I give unto you.
Yes, please.
Not as the world giveth.
Okay, if you said that before.
I unto you.
Yes.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Okay, you see that? That again, you might want to put in that place, don't fall apart. Anxiety. Don't be distressed. That's it. Don't be distressed. And it will tell us the reason why it's saying we shouldn't be distressed. Can you see? I want you to take note of this. Take note of the connections we are making by the Spirit of grace. Have you seen before he said, don't be distressed? He said, my what? My peace. He's simply saying that here comes a fortification. Here comes you're being shod with the readiness, alertness of the gospel of peace. It says, if you are fortified in verse what? 27, then it would mean then there will be nothing about your heart being what? Troubled. Anxiety will have no place in your life. You will not be a confused entity as a Christian. You will not be somebody who is messed up in your thinking. You will not get to a point where you're confused. It says, well, if you take on the right armory. That's why if you notice every time he talks about peace in the scriptures, in most cases, the thing that comes on the opposite side will be worry, anxiety, being troubled, distress. Those are the things that are actually on the opposite side of what? Of peace. So anxiety is not a problem. Distress is not a problem. The main problem is not taking on this armory of the peace that comes from the gospel. So let's go on, please. Okay, I can even read from here. Yeah, but verse 27, yeah. verse 28, you can read that, please.
Yeah, but I said unto you,
okay,
I go away,
okay,
and come again unto you.
Yes, please.
If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I.
Okay.
Verse 29.
Yes, please.
And now I've told you before it come to pass, that which it is come to pass, you might believe. Verse 30.
Now watch this.
Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world coming.
The devil is coming. Now, the advantage taker is on his way. The advantage. Now, see, what we are talking about today, we want to build up a confidence in your spiritual life. You know, we have Christians who I use the word overestimate, or they give Satan so much credence. And in fact, there are some things, they just say everything is the devil. You see, Satan so much credence. Here is Christ saying, the devil is what? Coming. Watch this. What does it say then?
And that's nothing it means.
Okay. That is nothing. Oh, it would mean. It would mean then that when the devil tries to come to, in a way,
come
at anyone, it means it would need to find a loophole. That's the point. So it would tell you that the devil cannot operate in your life, contrary to what some prayer warriors might have told you, contrary to where some house of prayers or prayer places might have told you that Satan can do and what? Undo. It's not scriptural. No. He cannot do and undo. Here Jesus Christ saying, the devil comes, but there's no place here. There's nothing here. He doesn't even have anything to do with me. And the same thing you can say today, the same thing you can say based on this transmission, that if you have your armory, there's nothing the enemy throws at you. There's nothing he's going to do with you. Devil has nothing on you, because there's nothing for him to hook onto. There has to be something first in the life of a Christian that the enemy can walk with. I'll repeat that. First, the devil ensures there's something that he can walk with. If there's nothing he can walk with, there's nothing he can do. So here is Christ saying, the devil is come, but there's nothing. There's nothing he can do with me. And that's why, if you notice, when we started Ephesians chapter 6, the principle there says, finally, my brethren. And I think most people who talk about spiritual warfare, we always try to jump to Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. In fact, we jump to where we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We quote it with all spiritual favor. But we've forgotten the fact that it started from verse 10. When it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what? And the power of his might. There was nothing about rulers of darkness of this world. There was nothing about spiritual wickedness. Before he said that, the very first thing was, brethren, take advantage of our armory. Be strong in the Lord and the what? In the power of his might. If you do that, forget about all those rulers of darkness of this world. What's your business with them? But most people just run all the way. We flip over, strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and we start talking about rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the reason why we are susceptible to those is because we didn't take on an advantage of something that was there before, which is being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is all the enemy has, is just antics and lies. And that's what he has to make sure a Christian is ineffective in taking up the benefit of the strength in the Lord and the power of his mind, because he knows that once you're not taking on that benefit, when the enemy then comes, he has something that he can hook onto in our lives. And that's why the Bible says we need to be alert and ready, having our feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. It means we have a fortified defense mechanism. When the enemy comes, we can say like Christ, there's nothing for him to hold on to. And that's what we see in the scriptures.
Yeah.
So that's what we see then. And then, so we now can go back to Ephesians 6, verse 15. That's Ephesians 6, 15. So we've seen from different instances in the scriptures how we can have our feet shod or hooked on by the readiness of the gospel of peace. So let's go quickly back to Ephesians 6, verse 15. I want you to read that, please, so that we can see how this actually works
and
out.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes. And your feet, it says, shod and hooked onto the ground with the preparation of the gospel that comes, of the revelation of the gospel that comes through the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So as we round up today, we've actually shown by the scriptures that a Christian cannot afford not to be kitted, not to have their feet shod with the readiness, the alertness that comes from the peace that actually flows through understanding the gospel of Christ. And the Bible says one thing, that as a Christian, we need to think about the implication of what? Of the gospel, so that we can gain an understanding higher than the present understanding causing confusion in our lives. And that's what we've seen there today.
Yes, we are challenging you to think and putting on your thinking cap to think about it. Of what use is having your helmet of salvation? Of what use of having the bulletproof vest of righteousness? Of what is having the belt of truth when you're just unbalanced? You know, when you're standing, you know, your posture is unbalanced and you're being tossed
around. Everything that happens is just
around
confusion.
You, and you're not even at peace. So how can you? You're
troubled.
You're troubled. You're thrown off. You're pulled apart. And then you're still wearing your helmet. You're wearing your breastplate of righteousness. It doesn't make any sense, you know. That is the thing. And that's why you need to really pay attention to this, what we have shared today. And you might need to go back to this recording and think about it. It's even a call
so
to
think about this. Be active
it's a call
now.
To thinking. You know, we're calling you to challenging you. You have been thinking about some things before. You have been troubled about,
because of what you're
what
thinking about.
What it is, you're already pulled apart based on your thoughts. But today we are challenging you to come up, like in Philippians chapter 4, we're calling you to some higher levels of things you need to feed your minds on.
Think
instead of thinking
things.
About what to eat, what to wear, he said, think of some days, whatsoever that is for you. You are going to substitute, it's a substitutionary exercise this evening, for you to substitute thinking about what to wear for what is whatever that is of true report. So those are the things. You are not just allowed, you are not allowed to stay blank. We are not calling you to blank things out. We are not calling you out to eat yourself out of consciousness and not be alert. Because you are saying readiness of the peace. You know, nothing can be more. Be awake.
You are ready for anything that comes.
Yes, the readiness. So the peace we are talking about is the one that gears you up. That you are on alert. Yes, you are ready. You are up for it. So you say whatever. Just like Paul said, bring it on. So what is it? You are ready, you are up for it.
You're
it's
ready.
Not the one that knock you out
ready for anything.
Of consciousness. And so you are not even yourself anymore. You are actively engaging. And that is the peace we call you to. I hope you'll be able to pick this thing out. And we trust the Lord that the Lord is going to drum this to you understand it, so that you understand the process of your peace. What makes for your peace? He told the Jerusalem, he was telling that the people of Israel, then if you know what makes for your peace, that is what we are telling you today. Be able to research and think about what makes for your peace. So thanks for joining us today. We do hope that tomorrow, 9 a.m. UK time, you'll be able to follow us as we continue on this series, you know, the Amori sessions. We still have a lot to talk about. We just stopped at Ephesians 6:15 today. So we're going to start, we're going to continue from where we stopped tomorrow. And so we want you to join us tomorrow as we continue this. Again, if you have liked any of our videos, we want you to go to the page to like, because it's a different thing. If you liked any of the video and you don't like the page, you'll be missing some of the videos that is on the page. So you can even go further by following, and you can even go further than that by saying view first on the following, so that you don't miss any of those things. It comes to your newsfeed. And so if any of this speaks to you and blesses you, we want you to share it, we want you to live the truth and share it with your contacts so that they can be blessed and we can do the journey and work together in this same church. So we'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. UK time. So what do you want to say?
God bless you.
God see bless you. We say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him. Amen.
Okay, bye.
Bye.